have schools where they don't have the, you know, the people are moving into, and they don't have the kids there to warrant keeping the high school open. But they're open. As long as they can come down here and get 25-30%, they're open.
So did Russell close? Is that one of the ones they closed?
Yeah, they found. We fought it. Mm-hmm. We managed to keep it open for 3 years. And the reason they said that it should close because it was old. I'm wondering, would that same logic apply to Harvard?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
If it's old, close it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they closed it. Mm-hmm. And they've closed two other middle schools in the West End since then. Parkland's closed. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was old, too. And now, so if you're a middle school student and you live in the West End, you don't have but one that you can go to. That's over here at Western, and the rest of them you have to be bused to.
So 75, so it closed the same year that
Buster, no, it closed in 75, the same year that the new busing plan that we're under right now came into existence.
Yeah.
And the reason it closed then, see, they went through the back door, is because the city system was no longer in charge.
Right,
merger came, so we couldn't, we had stopped the city system from closing it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then I get it, yeah.
So during that summer when we were in limbo, we didn't know who was going to be in charge of the system, they closed it.
Mm-hmm. Were you given any warning? Or
No. You just read in the paper one day that Russell will no longer be a school. And in the middle of the summer, we couldn't rally parents and kids like we had done, okay? And then let me tell you what else, okay? I left to go to, they sent me to Thomas Jefferson High School. It seems like it always follows me. Thomas Jefferson was the most integrated, without busing, was the most integrated high school of the 23 high schools in Jefferson County.
Okay.
And here's why it was integrated. They built Thomas Jefferson High School right on the boundary of a white neighborhood and a black neighborhood. Natural integration. Nobody had to be bused. And it worked, and it was the best high school. I saw some good things there.
Mm-hmm.
Had some good leadership, you know. I don't believe in, I believe in when I see good leadership, saying it was good leadership. It was led by a principal named Whitaker. Good leadership.
Was an integrated faculty too?
Everything. Just. And let me tell you what happened. As long as Thomas Jefferson was doing all right and integrated, it was right in the Newburg area. I don't know whether
mm-hmm.
you...
No, I'm learning.
Okay, the Newburg area is an enclave, a black enclave that really didn't belong there. It's just like it's there. Right in the middle of this sea of whiteness.
Okay.
And it's a holdover from slavery that slaves were given little parcels of land and da-da-da-da-da and encouraged to stay there so they could serve their used-to-be masters.
Mm-hmm.
We have three or four communities around Louisville like that. Berrytown, Griffithtown, and Newburgh, and they have served Berrytown, Griffithtown, served the Anchorage area where the most affluent live in Anchorage. Okay,
right.
Back to Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
So they said, we can use Newburgh's black folk in any number of ways. So the first thing they did is they took like maybe 20% of them and they put them to an adjacent high school, which was Durrett. Okay? Then you have about, Durrett is now closed, and they put Mail there.
Right, okay.
Where Mail is now, that used to be Durrett.
They moved into that building.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what happened was that they came up with this plan.
And that was a traditionally black high school before?
What?
Durrett?
Traditionally white.
Traditionally white. Okay.
Right.
And then?
Right.
And Mail.
Right.
Okay.
Durrett was all, no black people went Durrett. So what happened was they looked at four high schools and they said, we don't have enough blacks. But if we close one high school and take the blacks that are there, split them up four ways, we exempt four high schools instead of one. So the high school in the county that was the most integrated, that had most integrated the longest, that had the greatest history, they decided that that high school could no longer exist because they needed its black people. Mm-hmm. So they closed it. Just closed it. And said, and so when they closed it, they took the black people and made four other suburban high schools who did not have enough blacks exempt.
Okay.
And they're exempt today.
So that was Thomas Jefferson, and it closed.
Made it a middle school.
I was going to say, I thought, yeah, I knew the name was still around.
Yeah. Made it a middle school.
Okay.
All right. So now.
So what year, when was that?
That was 81.
That was 81. And you had taught there, you were still there?
From 75 to 81.
And what did you teach? And
I ran a program called Occupational Work Experience, OWE. And what this program was, it was a state program for kids who were having difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to take those kids, identify them, and get them into jobs while they were working. Really, it was Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
It was compensatory. It was a thing that the state of Kentucky saw as being needed to give these kids a leg up, a jump start.
Mm-hmm.
Highly successful.
Mm-hmm.
And
was business involved too?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was a coordinator. In other words, I went to school with them 4 hours a day, and then 2 hours a day, I tried to locate work for them, see that they got certain services. They have another thing, they call them homeschool coordinators now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the state did that and put those homeschool coordinators, but that's really the same principle that was involved.
Mm-hmm. And did you have black and white kids?
Yes.
In your
program? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Highly successful. Anyway.
Did you coach also?
Well, let me. Oh, that's really funny. I refused to coach. I refused to coach football and basketball. But I did coach track.
Okay.
And I probably had. Maybe 15 or 20 individual state champions. Because every time I quit, I got hijacked again. So I coached it. That's really funny. I coached it four. I coached at TJ. I coached at Shawnee. I coached at Manuel. And I coached them more. So I coached at four high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I had state champions at all of them. And so the individual principals would ask me, and I'd say, no, I'm not being bothered with that bullshit again. And I get sucked into it. Well, the kids need you. So I don't know why you asked that question about coaching. I didn't tell you about...
well, you're an athlete and you had coached before, so I thought they would
keep
hitting you up for it.
And they did. I didn't tell you about my experience in Hopkinsville.
No, no.
Okay. Let me tell you. I told you that there were only two people that head coaches in the state of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Hopkinsville is about 180 miles from here. It's a little hotbed of athleticism. Every year a team from Hopkinsville is doing something statewide, whether it be basketball, football, track. That's just, and there's a very good reason for that. Now, I don't want to sound racist, but Hopkinsville has the highest percentage. Christian County has the highest percentage of black people in the whole state. Mm-hmm. Okay? The reason being that blacks worked those tobacco fields down there during the Civil War.
And where, this is...
Christian
what
County.
What direction is it from?
It's in western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky.
It's really southwest of here. It's down on the Tennessee line. Mm-hmm. Down near Fort Campbell. Okay, so let me go to Hopkinsville for you.
Okay, please.
That's a little story. Are you tired of hearing these Carmen stories?
No, that's why I'm here for the Carmen story.
Okay, so the principal.
I got plenty of time.
Okay, the principal at Hopkinsville. Somebody told him that I was a good coach, and we was a state tournament, and he asked me would I come to Hopkinsville. Incidentally.
This is
before I come to Louisville.
Okay.
This is before I go back to my alma mater to work.
Okay.
This is after I get my master's degree. Then I come home. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he hires me in Hopkinsville. And he's one of the few black principals left. There were 43 black principals, and when they integrated all the schools in the state of Kentucky, not one of those 43 black principals was made a black principal. So 43 black principals who were all qualified, high school principals, were wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is one of the last black schools in the state. This is Attucks. So I'm there at Attucks. So... They have Attucks High School, named after Crispus Attucks.
Mm-hmm.
They have a head coach who's been there, basketball coach who's been there 25 years, and a head football coach who's had 30 years in the system. So I went there as an assistant in both basketball and football. The football coach was also the track coach. So... The two high schools in Christian County. One is the county school system. The other, Hopkinsville High, is the city school system. These are two distinct school districts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're in the city school district, you have all the blacks in Christian County. The county school system has no black people. So the county schools pay the city schools to educate their kids. I'm letting that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
So all the black people in Christian County, their children go to Attucks. I needn't tell you about the dominance of the teams, right? Okay, so the people at Hopkinsville High say, we can't get to the state every year. Paducah knocks us out, Owensboro knocks us out, and the reason they knock us out is that they have their, and we don't have our. Okay, so how can we get our? So they said, well, you can get them if you say to Attucks they can no longer support football.
Rough, yeah.
So they have a board meeting one night, and they said, now you can stay open, but you can't not support football. We want your football players.
So they just closed the program?
Football. That's closed it down. Took the head coach, okay, who'd been coaching 30 years. I told you about him. And he was the track coach, and put him over there, and he became the locker room towel boy.
At the county school. Yeah.
At the city school.
At
the city school. Right.
Yeah.
So when the county said, you can't have them all because some of them technically belong to us. So we want our you-know-who. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting at a high school that can't play football, that's still dominating in basketball because the basketball players wouldn't leave. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Did the football players leave?
Yeah, they left. And Hopkinsville won 5 straight state championships.
Now
with the kids that they got from Addicts.
Right. And did they keep their white coach that they had?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Coach of the year in the state of Kentucky for 3 of the 5 years. Okay? So, the county school said, we want ours too. So we sitting on a school that just has these fragments left. So the principal asked me to take the track team. So sometimes you say, to make a long story short, I took the track team and won the state championship by 1 point. So now I got a little status
that's a,
now.
That's a story I want to hear later.
Huh?
I'll listen to that story later. I want to hear that often.
Yeah, I won by 1 point.
Yeah.
And
I used to run track, so.
No, yeah, but the thing that kills you about that 1 point, I got another 1 point story to tell you too, was that on the 800 meter relay, there was this question. It was a photo finish. If they declare me the winner, I win by 1 point. If they declare me second, I lose by 1 point. So that was a controversy. So back to Addicts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while I was at Addicts, another thing happened that kind of put a stamp on me, is that they printed the salaries in the paper. And I looked in the paper and a young football coach at Hopkinsville, I was making more money than me. He was making more money than another black assistant in the Attic. So we asked our principal, could we go see the superintendent? He said, certainly. So we went over, to make a long story short. We argued and argued, and he cursed and told us it was his responsibility to determine the worth of people and the value and so on and so on. And the white people insisted that he pay them more. And I said, well, there's some laws that insist that you pay us the same. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to let my attorney argue with you. Mm-hmm. To make a long story short, we went back to school, and the next year, we made more than the head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year, that's when they took the head coach over there. Okay.
Was that conversation did it, or did you have to get an attorney involved?
No, the conversation did it.
That did. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, my principal is looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he says to me, I'm very glad you stood up. That my time will come. And he said, I'm sure glad you stood up. When his time came, he said, I refuse to be an assistant middle school principal. I want to be assistant superintendent. Because they merged the city and the county and knocked out Addicts. Okay, and they wanted to make him the assistant principal at a middle school. And he refused. Long story, though. But when Jefferson County was going through their things,
mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They needed an experienced black administrator from out in the state, and they chose him. So when I come home, now you understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
After I stay at my alma mater coaching for 5 years, when I come home, My principal is now an assistant superintendent here in Jefferson County. And he recommended me for a job as an administrator.
Got it. What's his name?
Frank Simpson.
Frank Simpson. Okay.
You ought to talk to him. Mm-hmm. Highest percentage of kids. You know how many Rhodes Scholars I taught at Alex?
Four.
And that's saying something from a little bitty town in Kentucky.
Western Kentucky, yeah.
I'm talking about four Rhodes Scholars were in. One of the times I taught the school anatomy and physiology, and I taught anatomy and physiology on my planning period so our kids could have it. Mm-hmm. Okay? And four of the kids in that class turned out to be Rhodes Scholars. And he's always really felt good. Mr. Simpson, because his daughter was in that class, she was a Rhodes Scholar. Mm-hmm. And I felt like our kids needed to have the same advantages. They needed to have the same exposure. So when they took their ACTs and SAT tests, that they would be at least have an opportunity to show. So. I mean, one of my Rhodes Scholars is here now, state of Kentucky. I mean, not state of Kentucky, he's here in Louisville, Raymond Burris.
So what do you think enabled those kids? I mean, the teachers, the leadership?
At Alex?
Yeah.
Tradition, too.
Yeah.
An inordinate amount of kids from Alex went to college. All black faculty. Good, strong, no nonsense. Get it. I mean, that was a high school.
Mm-hmm. About discipline, is that?
Oh, we don't want to even mention discipline. I mean, that was, no. Mm-mm. No, I really, really enjoyed that. So, let me tell you what happened. So, when they stopped Addicts from being a high school, they didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know where to send me to Hopkinsville High or Christian County High School. So since they were both in the same system, they had to, and I was tenured, they had to have me. So they sent me to Christian County High School. So I was, for a while, the only black at Christian County High School. 500 blacks out of 2,000 and myself.
The only black person.
Right. And of course I made my obligatory proclamation that I am not here to be the black coach, so don't bring me the black problems. And of course you know what they did. They brought me all the black problems. You know. And as best I could, I tried not to solve them. But that's where my captain of my football team was Raymond Burris, who is the Rhodes Scholar that I'm talking about. He's here now. Mm-hmm. Maybe you ought to try to interview
that,
Raymond.
I mean, he sounds interesting. Yeah, definitely.
Raymond went to Center College. You can tell him his old coach recommended it. We don't get along. Raymond was the past president of Kentucky State University. And Raymond's politics, in my view, kind of changed.
So you clash on that level?
Hmm?
You clash on that, you don't agree on that level.
Right. I, what you see, I have enough sense to understand that In different positions, some of my positions would have had to be different. I mean, under different circumstances, some of my positions would have had to been different. But I've been fortunate enough to always not be apologetic about being pro African American and doing the things that I think serve the best long-term and short-term interests of African Americans. Okay, that may or may not be where I need to be, but I think, after having thought through, that this is where I need to be. So Raymond was the interim coach and interim president of Kentucky State University. They had problems up there, and he was a Rhodes Scholar. He was a very prominent law, finished near the top of his class at Harvard Law. Okay, very influential. And in a certain way, I admire him today. But our politics are quite different. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I see him. I run into him at meetings here and there. Well, we haven't had any relationship. We used to have a very good relationship. In fact, I signed him to a football scholarship to my alma mater, Jackson State. And he was scheduled to go until the people in Hopkinsville decided that he needed to go to center. And whatever the circumstances were, you hear all kinds of stories. I don't know. I know he asked me for a release, and I released him from his football scholarship so he could play football at center.
So how long did you last then at Hopkinsville?
When you mean at Christian County High School?
Christian County, sorry.
2 years, and then I went home. I went to Jackson State.
And then there for 5 years, and then here, back here. And so Frank Simpson is here at that point.
Oh, yeah, and recommended me for a job. They needed black administrators in the county school system, and he recommended me for a job. My politics didn't allow me to get the job because I talked to them just like I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. And that didn't go over well, so I didn't get the job.
Mm-hmm. When did you first, have you always talked, speaking truth to power, or is this
all my life?
Yeah.
All my life, I as I look back, because people always ask me that question, and as I look back, all my life, I was encouraged to by my family and. I saw no need to not do that.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me just a little bit about that family environment that nurtured that?
Yes. My heroine was my great-grandmother who reared me. My father was there before World War II, but he went off to World War II, so you're talking, I had to be 9 or 10 years old before he became really an influence. Came back here and he moved to Detroit. My grandmother, great-grandmother, kept me. So she was my inspiration. She encouraged me to do basically everything that that I think important educationally. Mm. Education was very important. I was reared in a housing project.
What part of town?
Beecher Terrace. You know where Beecher Terrace is?
In Beecher Terrace.
Mm-hmm. 1010 Fifth Court. I could run right out of my front door and run two blocks and I'd be at Central High School. Mm-hmm. Run right through 11th Street. Mm-hmm. And I went to S.C. Taylor. That's the school that's right across from Central now. Mm-hmm. But at that time, it was in the housing project. You know, they built around it.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, they built around schools when they were building public housing. Yeah. Okay. Built around schools and churches. Mm-hmm. Okay. That church at 11th and Muhammad Ali, that's where I played. Our Merciful Savior. So.
And what was the project like?
I was just going to tell you.
Yeah.
A microcosm of Black Louisville. Next door was a college graduate. Two doors down the court was a physics PhD from Dartmouth. So right next door to him could have been somebody who'd been in LaGrange Penitentiary. Mm-hmm. So Everything you wanted it to be was there. So if you wanted to find inspiration, you could find it. To be a criminal, or to be an intellect, or first blacks who attended two of the academies from the state of Kentucky, the Naval Academy and West Point, were grew up in Beecher Terrace. So I mean, I was a part of that experience. Knew them well, played with them. So everything you wanted to be was there, okay? People on the move, people that were never going to move. And so you had some clear choices as to what you wanted to be. So it was there. And my great-grandmother who reared me insisted that if you can believe this, I played the violin when I was in my girls get a big kick out of that now when I talk about it. But, and then, you know, I played the violin, and I was also the state boxing champion at 95 pounds. So this was quite a switcheroo, and an only child, so you had to take care of business. You know, when you came out of the house, you had to understand that you might have to take a stand. That taking a stand was part of your upbringing. So you were constantly called on to take a stand. So I was reared in that environment. And
was she your primary parent then, your great-grandmother?
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, my dad was not there. He had moved to Detroit, and I'd go up there during the summer, but he was an older brother. He didn't feel, this is speculative, I can't get into it, but he didn't feel like he could come down hard because he wasn't there all the time. But she could come down hard because she was there all the time. And she came down hard. And it was always what was expected was to, learning was valued, very much so.
So she instilled that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my love of learning. I have a grandson now who turned 5 yesterday. He's reading. And I bought him one thing that was bought for me when I was 5, an encyclopedia. And he can name just about every European capital area. He can name already all the capitals of all the states in the Union.
Yeah.
He just turned 5 yesterday. And that's my oldest daughter's child. So that was learning was always another thing that happened. I don't know whether this is relevant or not, but I saw the way she responded to a lot of things, and that was the key, I think, later on, whether conscious are unconscious, the way I responded to things. She was domestic, and she worked for this family, and the family's children and I were the same age. So as little ones, we played together. And I saw how she responded to that family, and her lack of intimidation. So I guess I've never been intimidated by people outside of my experience when I was growing up. In other words, what I'm saying is white folks didn't overwhelm me. Because I was never reared around them, but I was reared around them in the sense that I saw how she responded to them when I was growing up. Okay? They didn't make a decision without consulting her. So she had to have some sense, I used to always say. And he was a lawyer. She helped kind of rear him. And then she helped rear his children. And they were my age. And she taught his mother English when she came here from Germany. So.
Did you have any interaction with those kids?
Yes. Yeah, I played with them. as much as you could play with kids. I mean, we went out there. We would have, they would give us a big day every once a year. Oh, brother, I can remember when they discovered I could read. Mm-hmm. And I remember my grandmother's response to the reading. And she used to always say to me, some of the things you can do, you needn't let everybody know you can do them. See, I used to get all their books. All his name, I call his name, he's a big attorney here. I'm not going to call his, I started to, but I used to get all his old books. When he got tired of them, they would give them to my grandmother to give to me. But when he found out I could write, I never got any more books. I got everything else, but I didn't get books anymore. But that's another thing. We can all speculate as to why I didn't get any more books. But that was an experience for me.
So why do you think?
Why do I think? I don't know. I can speculate historically that one of the things that white America has always had problems with is black intellect.
You found that threatening?
Yes, it always has been. It's today. They insist that, let's look at the achievement level in terms of your worth, and they know the achievement level is not going to be the same. She didn't start out the same. We have a legacy that we have never been able to overcome in this country. The first thing you do when you're at war or when people have been kidnapped or victimized, you have a deprogramming. You deprogram them. You convince them that this experience should not impede your development from this point on. Black people have never been deprogrammed. And what has happened to us is the same legacies about their inferiority that were present after the Civil War are still present, promoted by black people themselves unknowingly. They don't know that they promote that. And the only way to get away from that is for black people to do it. Nobody else can do that. We have to deprogram ourselves to our worth, and we can't do that in schools controlled by white people. Because white people are not going to let you do it. Mm-hmm. White people are not going to let you do anything that they deem advantageous to you. And I don't say this because Carmen says it. I say this because history says it. I read history. Mm-hmm. History says that white people have been opposed to everything, every move that's ever been made in this country by black people that has been perceived to be advantageous, it has been opposed by white people. I don't need to say that. White people say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the first books that I read were written by white people. Mm-hmm. It's just recently the black folks started reading. So white people said that. I mean, some little old person from France, what's his name, in 1840 said that. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, it'll come to me in a second.
Yeah, he said that in 1840.
Yeah.
So it's been, Carmen didn't say that. I just look at it and agree with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certain things that are observable. And that's one of them. De Tocqueville.
Yeah.
About as he came up here to evaluate democracy. Mm-hmm. And he's so intuitive because here it is again. Mm-hmm. All of these many years later. Mm-hmm. Alexei de Tocqueville.
Right.
Right. So I'm just using what you have said. And if you look at educationally, you look at all the Dewey's tenets. Educationally, you begin to understand. I fought for Central, and this is why I fought for Central. I fought for Central not for Central that was, but for the Central that could be. That I see Central with the proper leadership as being the only high school that can adequately deal with the problems present among black students. I see that. Because other schools are not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. And how could Central do that?
It can do it because it can say it's since most of its students are black, it can become an educational problem, not a racial problem.
Right.
In other schools, it can never become an educational problem. It always has to be a racial problem because we're in a minority. Mm-hmm. And you have to see Central as different. And if you don't see it as different, you're either blind or a fool. Mm-hmm. It's different for any number of reasons. It's different because of its historical mandate. And it's also different because of its population. It's also different because of its proximity to the black community. Mm-hmm. And it's also different because of its potential for good and bad. So it's different. It's not just another Jefferson County public school. And you got to be crazy if you don't understand what I just said. I'm saying that to certain people. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you don't understand what I just said, you're either dumb or you're crazy as hell. It's different. It's not another school. And it can never, for the sake of its history, be just another school. Do you understand? Listen to me. Do you understand? Here I am again. Being profound. Central is the only historically black high school left in the state of Kentucky.
In the state, the whole state, yeah.
And it's they want to close it.
Mm-hmm.
This current superintendent, because what it is, it messes up the plan. Okay? If we get rid of Central, we have 1,400, 1,500 kids that we can put anywhere. We can really, okay? And then we don't have to...
Same idea you were saying before.
Same idea.
Spreading out the black schools.
Same idea.
White schools.
And then we don't have to confront you as a unit. Mm. See, Central can be a battering ram